If a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How much is there to leave behind? You wouldn't think there's so much, I mean, in the life of an average Catholic. And that still, if we go through our examination of conscience, if we look in the corners of our lives, it's remarkable how many idols we collect over the years, isn't it? Oh, I mean, few of us are out and out guilty of idolatry, of course, but we are guilty of allowing our decisions so often to be governed by some other power than that of the one true God. It's as though we all belong to some self-help group and we all made up our own higher power, as people will do today anymore. So for some, to be honest, it might be the desire for the approval of others. For others, it could be an addiction, not the standard addictions only, but I think an addiction to work would count, or some other way in which we seek to escape from reality. For many, it is greed for gain, the need to control, a hunger for power and for pleasure and the release it brings us. These idols, you may call them too, if you will, dictators, are so powerful that they block out the voice of God. It's not heard anymore. Or if we hear him speaking, God is speaking in Latin, and we only know two or three words of it, and we really can't make it out, not anymore. But what a wonderful promise our Lord makes to us. I came across it in my reading this morning. It's a psalm we say for the night office of Friday throughout the year in the divine office, the Matins, the 80th psalm. A more contemporary translation is intriguing. A voice I did not know said to me, I freed your shoulder from the burden. Your hands were free from the load. You called in distress, and I saved you and set you free. I freed your shoulder from the, not the cross, not the weight of the cross, not that which must come before. I mean, all of this leaving behind and giving up, the sweeping out we try to do each Lent of our idols, the resigning from the dictators to whom we've pledged our loyalty in our weaker moments. No, I freed your shoulder from the burden, the weight, whether it be of our sins or the sins of someone else. What a heavy burden that is to carry. But now, when we pick up our cross to carry it after Christ, he's already freed the shoulder. There's that beautiful prayer. Today is the Feast of the Five Wounds, but St. Gertrude, you know, counted thousands of wounds in our Lord and honored each one of them with her prayers in a way very pleasing to our Lord. But that prayer that St. Bernard traditionally gives us for the wound in our Lord's shoulder, which he told St. Bernard was the most painful of all of the wounds that he suffered during the Passion. The wound made by sin on our souls and on the souls of others. Well, our Lord requires that we should carry our cross and that we should come after him at the price of not even being his follower. It is not enough for us then to bear our daily crosses. We are to follow him by uniting our sufferings to his, and by stopping to remember at times that he has already freed our shoulder from the burden of them, because he has shouldered it all the way to the death of Calvary. This is the only way we can really follow his footsteps, to make his life our own. Now, the saints did that in a perfect way. St. Francis, with his stigmata, was nailed to the cross with the seraphic Christ. That's not for us. Something less, but something still heavy, is reserved for us. That is to say, whatever kind of a cross, at whatever hour of the day or the night, or point of our lives, our Lord deigns to send us, whether it be a physical cross, or a spiritual one, or something of more of an emotional nature. He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But you see, it's not enough just to take up our cross. We are called, and don't worry, he's already taken the burden from our shoulder. We are called to follow him in a spirit of sacrifice, yes, but especially of reparation, united to our Lord. In the fullness of his love comes a littleness of mine. And so whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not only are we not worthy of Jesus if we aren't prepared to follow that precious saving cross that goes on ahead, we couldn't technically even be his disciples, because the word disciple comes from the phrase, one who follows. To be our Lord's disciple means that we believe what he believes, that we want what he wants. And our Lord, what does he want here in this business of the way of the cross and our carrying our own cross? He is devoted. He is burning with a fever of thirst for the salvation of souls, our own and that of others. And he has a plan for that. They say that when St. Francis got to a place, also holy, with his reputation for sanctity preceding him, that after a while, that first of all, the people were very put off and did not know what to make of him and weren't necessarily too happy about him or his little sermons. But after a while, they were okay with St. Francis when they realized he didn't have any particular plan of his own. There was no 10-point plan. There was no great sort of a social reformation system that he was going to impose on an individual or a group, on the lepers or on a town. No. He would pray and he would suffer for the sins that he saw. Or he would preach. He preached repentance. He preached the sacraments. And he preached restitution for our sins. On these things he insisted, but for the rest, for all the social ills of his day, that's what he would do, because he was a follower of the crucified. He came after him. He would pray. And people don't usually mind, not always, but usually they don't mind, if you just pray for them. Just, that's everything. If you pray for them. God has designed that this salvation of souls should only take place through the cross, by way of suffering. Of suffering for what? The offenses of others. This means that in some sense, a small sense, if we're not burning up with thirst and the fever of the desire of soul salvation, like our Lord or St. Francis, we should at least experience a little bit of thirst, a little bit of love, in whatever capacity the good Lord has chosen for us. You must take up your cross and you must follow him. But don't worry. He assures you, that voice that you did not know said to you, I freed your shoulder from the burden. Your hands were freed from the load. You called in distress and I saved you. And all he asks now is you go with him the rest of the way to save some other souls. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.